There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, hour number two on this Wednesday. Glad to have you here. Phone number 343-0106 works for the calls and the text line. And a reminder, too, you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, which is like a digital multi-tool, one of those Leathermans in your pocket. Not only do you stream the station there, all our social media feeds with breaking news are in one place right there. The first place, our podcast posts are to the app as well. Show schedules are on there, plus traffic map information on there. And you can call and text us from there, and you can also leave us a talkback message. On the front page, you'll see the microphone icon. If you press that, lets you record your message, emails it to the show, and we can play it back here on the air. So ways to get in touch, and it's a good time for questions out there. And it's good to have the person that we rely on here at FM Talk 106.5 and Bigler Broadcasting, Jacqueline Everett from Coastal HR in studio to answer my questions and y'all's as well. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me, Sean.
It's open enrenchment time.
It is.
And I hear that every year, and I go... So I'm supposed to be doing stuff, but I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. That's why we're lucky to have y'all. But,
yes.
Like, there's still a lot of us to go, okay, I know I'm supposed to do something.
Right.
What is it?
Right. Yeah, you're exactly right. And you're not alone in that by any means, Sean. You know, that's a lot of people feel that way. So, you know, there are a couple of things from as an employee, kind of goes both ways here. But as an employee, you really want to make sure that you you know that, one, it's open enrollment period. So
start
asking
deadline,
questions,
right?
And it has deadlines. And one thing employers determine is whether they're going to have a passive or an active open enrollment.
Okay, give me definitions of these.
All right. Yeah, exactly. So, for example, a passive open enrollment simply is that if you are satisfied with your benefits and you don't want to make any changes, there's nothing that you have to do as an employee.
Okay.
You can just, it will roll over to the next year. With an active enrollment, and generally that is because an employer has changed the plans or things that are being offered, right? So you will have to actively participate in an open enrollment or your benefits will end at the end of the year.
Okay, now, so there's an active, so the company, so we're looking at it from, and we'll go on the employer side in a second, but okay. The employee's there and there are changes being made. But they just give me whatever I had last time. But they have to say that.
Right. Normally, the employer will indicate whether it is a passive or an active enrollment in their communication material that is sent out to the employee, which is why it's so important, to make sure that you really look at that, because you may or may not have to actively participate in open enrollment. But with benefits being such a huge part of our lives, you really want to make sure you're up to date on whether you need to.
But
actually go online.
But these things change, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, for example, let's say the rates change,
mm-hmm.
right, with your insurance. Does that – so I'm an employee. The rates have changed mm-hmm. with the plan, but I'm – in a passive, but then something changed. Does that make it active?
So not with your rates.
Okay.
So it is
okay.
It's not uncommon for your Blue Cross or your mm-hmm. United Healthcare rates to change. They're typically going to go up every year, unfortunately. That doesn't necessarily...
So I don't have to do... If I'm an employee listening right now, and we're in open enrollment season, and that goes up, I didn't have to sign anything or click or do anything?
Not if the employer deemed it a passive enrollment. Usually if...
But if it's active, they're telling you, hey,
they should be telling you. So, if you are switching from Blue Cross to United Healthcare, healthcare, or you've made major changes in what you're offering or no longer offering to your employees, then you would want to have an active enrollment. But with us this year, for example, we had no changes in anything other than premiums. They can be adjusted. Right. Typically, they may go up or down. But so we're having a passive. The only exception to that is if someone has flex spending.
Okay. So. Okay. Not see. So the flex, is this the FSA?
That is the FSA.
Which is something I've signed up for my first time this year.
Yep.
So I just did this.
Oh, good.
Tell me what choice. I just did. What did I do?
So
I signed up.
Those are pre-tax dollars up to the proposed $3,300 for the maximum that you can put in per year. But it's pre-tax dollars that comes out every paycheck that you will get a card, and you can use that for deductibles, copays, stuff like that. You just swipe the card and it's paid for.
Is this so how it's, like we learned? I heard about HSAs for a long time. So a FSA is the same or different?
Those are two totally different. Yeah. So you can't offer an HSA and a flex at the same time. HSAs, the main difference between the two is with an HSA account, same concept, but you can assign a beneficiary. So that money, it's always there. If something happens to you, they get the money out of your HSA. You can actually put it into the stock market a little bit, dabble with that. Things that the flex spending does not offer.
Why did I sign up for FSA? Why is it better? Why did I do it?
We don't have an HSA offered.
Okay.
The only thing that we offer is the flex spending. But you sign up for that because you're going to get pre-tax dollar benefits.
I remember asking the questions to y'all when I did this, the first change I've made in a while. And I went through, I said, okay. And I have to, this is how I do my life. I said, I pull up at the pharmacy. I pull up at the pharmacy and they say, all right, Mr. Sullivan, it's, $7 or whatever for I use that card.
You use that card.
And that's the thing that got my attention because.
Yeah, definitely.
And for my kids, too.
There is a health care account option and a dependent care account option. Health care account, if you elect, let's say you elect $1,000 for the year, that $1,000 is spread out over your paychecks, but it's loaded January 1. So January 2nd, if you have a $1,000 bill, it's there. You can use it.
Okay, so that's the FSA.
Awesome benefit.
A lot of questions coming in. This one, texter said, if the rates change, I may want to change. How do I enroll single or family?
So that is actually an individual decision. It's one thing employees really need to do at this time of the year is assess your individual situation, your family needs. How much do you anticipate that you're going to, need? Your family may not need that coverage. You may just, you want to elect single coverage at that point. So that's really a question that's based on the individual's particular needs and how much they can afford. How much is single coverage now that the rates have gone up versus family coverage? And do your family members have other options maybe with where they work that maybe their rates are a little bit cheaper? So it may benefit you now instead of covering the whole family. To have a single.
Yeah, have a mixed bag.
Yeah, exactly. So it's individually, as an individual decision based on the household.
Okay, so this is out of my list of dumb questions I have for you. This is one of them. Mm-hmm. So if you're just joining us, Jacqueline Everett from Coastal HR. Why do we have open enrollment? Why is it like a thing with a deadline?
No, that is a great question. For one, employers who have 50 or more employees are actually legally required to have an open enrollment period. Less than 50, you may still have some legal obligations. You just need to check for your plan document or local laws to see. But otherwise, you'd have to depend on a qualifying event to be able to make any changes. And what a qualifying event is.
You guessed my next question.
Yeah. Yes, what is that? a qualifying event is either marriage, divorce, birth of a child, adoption of a child, loss of coverage, something of that nature that's going to trigger you to be able to, within 30 days, make changes to your benefit plans.
So if you don't have a qualifying event lets you sometime outside of October, you can make a change. But if not, you ride this till...
It's an open enrollment, and that is one thing a lot of employees or people need to understand, if you get married, I know you're in the honeymoon phase, but you really need, you only have 30 days. Again, benefits are all about deadlines. So
I've always noticed.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, that wouldn't be very nice to have to go back to the new wife and...
Yeah, until
you don't have coverage.
Hey, can you hang on a second?
Yes.
Okay, we're coming back. More Jacqueline. I want to talk about also from an employer's side of this, what they need to be doing right now. Open enrollment, what it means. We'll do that when we come back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and good to have Jacqueline Everett from Coastal HR in.
Yes, you know, this,
it's good to have you. People hear, like, you know, I talk about stories of my life on the commercials about, like, getting calls from kids who say, I don't know where the card is, and I'm here. And it never happens, like, at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Tuesday. It's always, like, about 12:06 when I've gone on the air, and there's panic. So I appreciate what y'all do. I am probably one of your problem cases out there.
Not
so.
At all.
But I think I ask these questions, and maybe it'll help out other folks. Employer side. So I'm an employer, and... thank God I have y'all.
Yes, we're glad to have you, Sean.
And you, between y'all and Tina, keep me on the right path. But there's a lot of employers that, hey, I'm a butcher, baker, candlestick maker. This is what I'm doing. I'm not doing this stuff, and I'm scared that I'm screwing something up.
Right.
You know. So what does the employer have to do during, you said passive or active? Let's say we're active. Okay. What does the employer, what you got to do? Mm-hmm. What do you got to do?
So... us as an employer, you know, we have a lot of hands in the pot. There's a lot of people that a lot of moving parts to make everything happen. So once open enrollment is over, then we're going to manage all of those changes to ensure that the deductions are updated and that everyone's coverage starts January 1 and that they are being deducted accordingly. We're also going to make sure that you get the legal required documents that
we are
providing.
Okay, so this is where I get nervous. Okay, yes, yes.
So there are some documents that that we have to provide, and that is your summary plan descriptions for each of your plans, your summary benefit and coverage information. There is there's the child's health insurance program form that we have to make sure.
The CHIP.
Okay, yes,
I've
CHIP
heard
right.
of this,
yep.
Yes.
The Women's Health and Cancer Rights Act, that goes in with our open enrollment information. And we also, you know, just kind of throw this in so I don't forget, because it kind of happens all at the same time, employers also need to remember that the Medicare Part D notices, it's a great time to include those in your open enrollment information because they're due by October the 15th.
Okay. So this is another one that moves into political discussions. So I always talk about the Medicare Part, fill in the blank, you can go back. But I don't know that I know what. What is Medicare Part D? Which one? What is this?
Right. So the Medicare, yeah, it's individuals who may not want, because of their age, it may be more beneficial for them to enroll in Medicare Part D. And because the Medicare open enrollment period is during the fall, mm-hmm. it's going on now,
right.
You just have to make those employees, if you're aware that if you're not interested in our insurance or if it's a little bit too, you know, expensive,
right.
maybe you're at the age where you know, can elect Medicare Part D. So it's making them aware
that they have
other options.
How much more mature do I have to get to get in that?
I think you've got a little ways to go, Sean.
Oh, dang it. All right.
Unfortunately, yeah, I mean, I do too. I feel like I'm... You know,
yeah, I feel like eligible. I'm ready for, yeah, keep checking what Social Security is going to give me. I said, well, I guess I got to keep working. So.
Exactly.
But there's people my age, too, there's a lot of, I think they call us in a donut. I have children in their teens, mm-hmm. Late teens and early teens, and I have a mother who is older than me, mm-hmm. put it that way, by a year. I trying to navigate those things, too. I mean, being an employee, an employer, a son, a dad, you know, making sure everybody's squared away here. And I feel this pressure sometimes because I know it's open enrollment. I know things are happening, but I get spooked that I'm missing something.
Yeah. And you know, as in your situation right now, you know, Coastal HR, we have you from an employer's perspective. You are in compliance and you're good to go. Some of the things to just keep in mind during open enrollment is if you're not sure, reach out to your employer HR group. Sit down, ask questions. You know, don't be afraid to ask questions, because this is it's ground that most people, your everyday person, just doesn't
know about this, you know?
And most are glad to help. Review your current coverage, you know. See what fits, what works, what doesn't.
Do you see a lot of people switching between, because we have the different, you know, I don't know what you call them. I always call them like the bronze, silver, gold plan, or the, you know, silver, gold, platinum plan. Yeah. Do people do a lot of switching back
and
forth?
Not typically. Okay. No, not. I don't see a whole lot of that. No. But it, again, it's options. It's all about options. And you know, everything changes. You mentioned having mom, kids, mm-hmm, all this mm-hmm. kind of stuff. Your situation from year to year is like everybody else's. It may change. And what worked for you the year before, you know, doesn't work now. So, you know, it's just a good time to really sit down and reevaluate. And don't be afraid to ask questions.
Yeah, because that's a worrisome thing, because you can look at these documents.
Yeah, it's so overwhelming.
And that's the word, Jacqueline, right?
Exactly.
I go, I'm a dummy, because mm-hmm. I don't know what's...
You're not a dummy. Us HR folks, probably, if we were honest, we're a lot more, you know. I mean, it's difficult for us at times, you know.
Because it is just so much
information, and it changes sometimes. So keeping abreast of all of it. So, no, we encourage anyone who's feeling overwhelmed. We don't want anyone to feel overwhelmed. Come in, talk with us. You know, we'll work through it. We'll run scenarios.
Okay.
And be more than happy to help. Another thing, Sean, too, is for employees to remember, it's a great time to make sure your address, phone number, email, all of that kind of stuff is up to date as well.
I guess people don't think about that. I mean, you put it in whenever you got signed up.
That's right. I had a lady call, and it wasn't when I was at Coastal HR, but she called and she was really upset because she hadn't gotten any of the open enrollment communication information. And
at least she knows to call you. If I was in a situation, I'd be like, duh.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we're going over it, and I'm like, her last name changed, her address changed, her phone number changed. She wasn't using that email address anymore. And I thought, what are you in the witness protection program? Like, what is going on here?
Off the grid.
Exactly. So, that's why she didn't get the open enrollment information.
So, yeah, y'all make sure to go do that. Dan and Daphne asked this question. Jacqueline said, so I have a question. My wife and I are both in our 70s. We adopted a daughter 20 years ago, and she's 21 and in college, and we cannot get insurance for her of any kind that doesn't have a $10,000 or $15,000 deductible and over $200 a month. Is there anything we can do for her?
Do they currently have any type of insurance? I mean, I don't know their exact situation.
They're in their 70s, so would they be on...
Some people even in their 70s are still working or what
no,
have
absolutely.
You. So, you know, obviously that would be the way to go if there was a way, you know, to use that type of insurance. You know, I love our contact at Blue Cross Blue Shield, so I don't know where that particular rate is coming from, but okay. I would suggest maybe calling Blue Cross Blue Shield or United Healthcare for individual single policies. You know,
because if
again,
someone was at a point
really,
that, yeah, if they, and yeah. I'm trying to think this through, and I don't know if this is Dan's scenario, but if I was on, and I always mess this up, if I was on Medicare, right, would that be Medicare as age at age into Medicare, right?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm in Medicare, but I have a scenario here like.
Right.
He does where I have a child that's still under 26.
Right.
You know, that.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. And to me, the thing that comes to mind actually is a single policy from one of the, you know, insurance companies. Outside from that, I'm really not sure. I can't think of any other options, but I'm going to write that down.
Okay.
And so if you can, you know.
Yeah, we'll put you in touch.
Yeah. I would love to talk with him and help him out.
All right. It's Dan and Daphne, so we'll put you all together. This texter says the FSA we talked about is a great way to pay for. I wish I'd have had this earlier. FSA is a great way to pay for kids' braces. Mm-hmm. The card pays the orthodontist up front while your out-of-pocket is spread over the year. The orthodontist offers discounts for payment in full, and you get those too.
Yeah.
And where was... my youngest just got them off.
Oh, wow. Gosh. Talking about missing the boat on that one.
Well, and
man,
for
I
the
hate
FSA,
that for you.
If y'all are like me, this is my first year in the FSA, and I don't know what I'm... So I made the amount small.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you'll blow, like I said at commercial break, you'll blow through that by March.
But, I mean, there's a way to kind of dabble your toe in it. I'm, you know, yeah, I'm kind of conservative in a lot of things, and trying to, I kind of want to feel how it's going to work.
Before. Smart. That is very smart, because what you don't want to do is just say, oh, well, I can do up to this amount. I'm going to do the maximum. And then you end up losing, because it's use it or lose it. Okay. Right. There is some amount that rolls over up to 640, but here nor there, it's very important. Sit down with you and your family, figure out how many doctor visits you have, what prescription copays everyone has. Are you anticipating an upcoming medical, you know, surgery or what have you?
Right.
Really try to narrow it down to say, I think we're going to use about this much, because you never want to lose.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to just overextend.
But yeah, like you told me, Jacqueline, that I'm going to see that this is going to go very quickly, and I'm going to up that for next year at next year's open enrollment.
Yeah, yeah.
When's open enrollment over?
For Coastal, it's individual.
It's
so
individual,
There, an employer sets their own open enrollment period. It's typically the majority is in the fall, October and November, but there are some employers who have mid-plan year type benefits, and they have them like in the spring. So typically fall, spring, you need
it's
to kind
season.
Of be asking and looking out for that communication. Yes.
Well, I appreciate the education you give me, Jacqueline.
Well,
thank you
course.
For stopping in.
Well, thank you. It's been so much fun. Thank you for having me. I hope your ratings don't go down.
Going through the roof here. You're Jacqueline Everett with Coastal HR, my guest, and she has done, you're going to see a big spike today. I like that. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
At 135 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile Wednesday style. Glad to have you along. Time to check in with my buddy Ron at Mobile Bay Coins and Fine Jewelry. Ron, I know people like get ready for Christmas real early, but I guess we're this time of year that Halloween is in the mix. We're a week out now. You always get collectibles out there. What do you got in the store right now for Halloween?
We have silver 999 fine silver pumpkins. They're shaped like a pumpkin, pretty much 3D. Pretty cool little silver pumpkins, 1 and 2 ounce. Lots of different types of Halloween-related jewelry, Halloween engravables. So every year we have all sorts of cool Halloween-themed stuff. And silver took a little bit of a dip overnight, and a nice little correction, so a great time to add to your stack. Gold and silver has been obviously very popular. Central banks have been buying a lot of it. So if you've been waiting for a little small correction, now's the time.
Okay. And the other precious metals that you and I talk about, and I like this because it kind of fits in if people are going, okay, what do I think is going to happen in the election? What do I think is going to happen in the economy? Platinum and palladium. And the reason their values fluctuate and kind of where are they sitting now?
Yeah, they're still sitting about 1,050. They've been steady and unchanged for quite a while. So, and more people have been doing the gold and silver thing since they've been on the climb. But once again, we talk all the time, Sean, as soon as the automotive market takes off, platinum, palladium will take off right along with it. So it's a good time to put some of that away, too. Not saying do all platinum, palladium, but make sure you have some of that in your portfolio.
I like it. All right. People want to come out and see you. How do they find you?
We're located at 2204 Government Street in Midtown Mobile. They can find us on the web at mobilebaycoins.com or just give us a call at the shop, 251-725-1590.
All right. Thank you, Ron. Appreciate it. And we'll talk to you soon. All right. Turn here in studio. Good to talk to Frank Kane from the Mobile County Law Enforcement Foundation. Did I get that right?
Mobile Law Enforcement Foundation.
Yep. There we go. And we'll pull that mic a little closer to you over there. So you have you and I were talking about this. I know we discussed it. I discussed it on the show last year. Your event coming up, your luncheon, you said this is the biggest fundraiser of the year for y'all.
This is our biggest fundraiser. It's on November 20th, downtown at the Battle House, and they put on a great event. Battle House, it's not a rubber chicken dinner.
Okay.
There's a chef back there.
Okay.
And he puts on a good feed, meal, whatever you want to call it. And we have dynamic speakers. Last year we had the sergeant. That was the focal point of the movie Black Hawk Down, and Matt Eversman. This year we have David Atkins. He's a retired New York police captain with 22 years of service. He ran nearly 500,000 911 calls annually. And if you stop and think about that, I can't wrap my mind around that. His division handled 911 for the state of New York. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
And he was a first responder at Ground Zero, and he's built a million-dollar international business, and he wants to talk to us about having a powerful vision, a strong mindset, and a sense of urgency in order to succeed at the highest level. So I'm really excited that he's going to be there. This is my second year on the board of directors, and I'm really excited. We also have a clay shoot in March that I won the booby prize last year. I was the worst shot of all 50 shooters.
Skeet and trap or sporting clays?
It's sporting clays.
Yeah, which one gets you? The rabbit? Does rabbit get you? You like that shot?
I apparently missed everything. It was terrible.
It's an honorary position to come in, what they call DAL. So, first of all, and I think this is interesting, too, to talk about. So this is a person from the world of law enforcement, but this is going to be something that people in business need to hear.
Exactly.
It sounds like this is part of his discussion as well.
Well, you know, we have an incredible brain trust on the board of directors. We have CPAs. We have attorneys, doctors, people that own their own businesses. Every year we've been fortunate to have Sandy Stimson show up. He's the mayor, and he's done a great job for the city. I was real disappointed to hear he's not going to run again. But he should be there this year, and the police chief. And it's a great opportunity to come down and meet some of the police officers, pass out your business cards, and have a good meal and listen to a great event speaker.
Absolutely. And this benefits the Mobile Law Enforcement Foundation. And so I should just ask you, I'm putting the first chapter about third. What is the Mobile Law Enforcement Foundation? What do y'all do?
Well, we're a nonprofit. So when you write a check, it's tax deductible.
Okay.
We're committed to a safe community and to support the Mobile Police Department. The foundation raises funds to help provide the necessary tools, programs, and resources for the Mobile Police Department that helps them protect and serve us. For instance, every Mardi Gras, people don't realize it, but most of our police serve double shifts during that two-week period. It's exhausting. And we serve them about 300 to 400 meals a day.
I've seen this before, so that's how this is happening.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's lunchtime, I'm going to take an hour off.
Right.
They don't
have that option.
They're eating on the run. They're pretty much issued these meals at roll call, and they have it with them. But there are spots in the parade route where they can go actually relax for a second, eat, get something to drink, and then get back, you know, on it.
So money coming specifically through Mobile Law Enforcement Foundation funds those meals.
Exactly. You know, but we also exist for the unfunded and unscheduled emergency things.
For example.
I'm going to say, and this was happened before I was on board, a police officer's wife passed away, and they had just had the weekly meeting, and the funeral is going to be before the next one. The police department does not have a slush fund. There's no petty cash. You know how that would be abused. So we stepped in. We were able to send flowers to the funeral.
So y'all,
they couldn't even appropriate flowers.
Because it's not in the budget.
They're rigidly enforced rules, and so we don't have those rules. We can step
right because you're citizens.
Take care of business, but we can only do what the public allows us to.
Meaning what?
Meaning, we need donations.
Mm-hmm.
We need somebody to step up and write a check. Gene Downing is our executive director, and she handles most of the day-to-day business for the foundation. And she can be reached at Jean at M-E, I'm excuse me, M-L-E-F OUNDATION.com. Gene@MobileLawEnforcementFoundation.com.
And I can, y'all need that on the text line. We'll get it to you directly because I know people riding down the road going, oh, you know what? Frank, I'm never going to remember to write that down. So,
really?
But we'll share it with folks. It. No, but I mean, if people riding, I can't remember, you know, things as I'm driving without writing them down. So the event, and I'm going to come back to what y'all do, but the event, once again, is coming up on the 20th of next month.
Right. This month.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, next month.
Next month,
you're
in
right.
November.
Sorry.
Tickets, I know you have, we probably have tables available. Or do
we
have
do. It's basically $150 a ticket or $1,500 a table.
Okay.
And most businesses will buy a table and then invite their clients and give it out as a promotion for internal employees, mm-hmm. as a pat on the back. But this is a great opportunity to go promote your business, pass out some business cards, meet some police.
So it's networking going on.
It is networking, and it is really a fun time. So not only do you get good food, you get good entertainment,
mm-hmm.
and you're meeting the people that protect and serve us.
Yeah, and it's good. It's good to see them, no names, no faces, and knowing that there's a group out there that can fill in. You know, because a lot of people, and I have a lot of friends in law enforcement, and people will tell me, hey, I appreciate you.
Exactly.
Okay, you see, and that is good.
Sure.
But how much do you appreciate them?
There
I guess is what we're talking about here.
Of course. You know, we do other things. We've got a surprise for the police department right after the first of the year. I can't tell you what it is.
Because it wouldn't be a surprise.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a surprise. But it's something that they need and has not been. The funds have not been appropriated through the city or through the police department. So we step in and we take care of things. And I'll give you another, for instance. 20 of the motorcycles needed an upgrade.
Okay.
Not funded for, not appropriated for. We stepped in and we helped them do those upgrades to keep them current and safe on the road.
So this is citizens filling in this gap here.
Exactly.
So when you see these things happen, these aren't always, they're not a line item in a budget because you don't expect that, you know, if you're.
Exactly. And so when it happens, it's an emergency.
Sure.
And they've already been allocated their funds. It's not in there for them to do it. So we, as a
it's good.
Outreach, help them get the job done.
Do y'all, I guess, keeping up that communication with Mobile PD too, to have somebody that they can pick up the phone and say, here's what happened, here's what we need. We've had a death, we need an upgrade, you know, these kind of things.
Everything comes through the police chief for us. He'll make a request, and then the board of directors will sit down and figure out the best way to do it. And we're not tied to the lowest bidder like
right.
some municipalities and police forces. We can actually go out and find a quality piece of equipment and get it delivered, maybe at wholesale,
mm-hmm.
and that person that orders it can take what would have been their profit and treat it as a donation.
Right.
And so we're getting the best at the lowest possible price for the police department.
Which is a shame that doesn't work that way for government, but it doesn't.
It doesn't.
When I'm talking to the sheriff even and talking about when they go to get a vehicle, if they get them set the way fully decked out.
Exactly.
It's so much more expensive. He gets the pieces shipped separately from the vehicle and they do the work at the garage.
Yes.
And to, you know,
isn't that funny how that works?
Uh-huh. Yeah. They know, I'm sure they know when you call from a municipality or police department, whatever they get, okay, we're going to plus that charge up.
Right.
But groups like y'all can step in and help with that.
And we do. But we can only do what the community helps us do, and that's through donations.
Well, it's a fun way to do it. You do the right thing, but a fun way to do it. Once again, you've got sponsorships still open as well?
We do. Like I say, you can get hold of Gene Downing at Mobile Law Enforcement Foundation.com, and corporate sponsorship is $2,500, but you can buy a table for $1,500, and I do that every year. And but if you're an individual and you just want to come, it's $150 a ticket.
Okay, so there's a seat for you even if you're not coming with a bigger group.
Sure, there are tables especially for those people.
Good stuff. Well, once again, November 20th, this is coming up at the Battle House. As Frank said, not rubber chicken. Not a rubber chicken dinner. Great food, great speaker, and it all benefits law enforcement right here at home. Frank, thank you for coming in.
I appreciate you having me, Sean. Thank you so much.
All right, 148 coming right back to wrap up Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 152 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. When last we left our hero, he was on the road buying vehicles to bring home here. Looks like it was a great success.
They're on the truck headed this way. That's one good thing about going down there is once you get a relationship, you can get them back here pretty quick. So we should have everything here no later tomorrow night, I think. One little gizmo we bought, some of your listeners may like this great little weekend car, is a 2002 Lexus SC. It's convertible, hardtop convertible, everything on it works. 72,000 miles, it's a 2002. So whoever's had this car's kept it in a garage because it's really a nice red car, tan guts, something somebody can buy for under 15 grand. And they're getting rare. It's got a good clean Carfax. We bought 11 trucks. We bought a couple of minivans. And a little bit of everything else. So we got a Toyota Tacoma, which I know you like, Mr. Sean.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all worth the money. So now's the time to come see us. Well, you know, what we've got on the lot's really nice right now. We've got more stuff coming.
All right. How they find you?
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation, 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. You'll see all the new inventory on the website. It won't have pictures, but it will tomorrow afternoon or hopefully at least by Friday.
Good stuff, David. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
All right, you too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. Yeah, before we wrap up for today, one of the stories, and of course we talked about this going into it, had Pete Ream on the show. He was on with Dan and Dalton this morning with the South Alabama Veterans Council. And I know I've gotten text. The problem is we're booked out today on the show. We will talk about this more coming up tomorrow. But what went down in Montgomery yesterday? And I think more deeply than just what happened yesterday. And I've said this the whole time. With the governor's opposition to Admiral Davis as the head of the South Alabama Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs, it must be deep seated. Now, is there? I think people talk about pettiness and revenge. Sure, but the political capital expended by Governor Ivey, and I keep waiting for the other shoe to drop. I've just been doing this long enough that I'll sit back when something doesn't seem completely logical. I go, there's something I don't know, but at this point, enough time has gone by. There ain't no shoe dropping that I know of in a state that has 340,000 veterans in Alabama. It's 375,000 or something, even more than that, 380,000 veterans in Alabama. Plus their families and their friends. So that network, I think you could talk about, we're talking over 1 million people in the state of Alabama that have, either they are a veteran or they are 1 degree of separation from the veteran. The political calculus for the governor to go full bore against a person that had the approval, it's not like the veterans community was saying, this guy, Admiral Davis, he's not doing us any good. They're fans of this guy. And to have a narrative that he was doing something like on his own, going rogue, when you dig into it, it looks like, if anything, it's a discussion of semantics in this $7 million. And, of course, there's a bigger story. But And we'll go into that tomorrow again. If you hadn't heard the discussion, you can go to our podcast and search for these shows, and we break it down. But the politics of this has left me scratching my head. Of course, people, Governor Ivey's not running again. Of course, but that's the point. She still has to govern. She still is the governor. And to govern from the executive branch, you can bully so much, but you can't bully too much. You can bully the legislative to a certain point, but if you bully enough of them or enough of their constituents that talk to them, then you lose any kind of political capital to spend in the legislature in the upcoming session. If you didn't hear about it, I mean, this is the story, and we'll talk about it, like I said, tomorrow, a story over at lanyapmobile.com from Dale Leash, and I think Kyle Hamrick as well, said Alabama Governor Kay Ivey used her, quote, supreme executive power, end quote, to override the vote of the State Board of Veterans Affairs and remove Commissioner W. Kent Davis immediately, according to a statement from her office. So remember we talked about this, that the governor, as I believed, and I learned more yesterday that I was inaccurate, I was wrong, that the governor had control over the board, could appoint the people on the board, but the board made the decisions about what happened with the head of the board. I didn't know she had this whammy in her pocket because the board members voted 3-2 with two abstentions to keep Admiral Davis as the head of the Alabama Department of Veterans Affairs. So the board that she was trying to make the calls and see how they're going to vote, you know, whipping the votes on this, they went to keep Admiral Davis. So the governor, who was not there, by the way, who was not in attendance, uses her whammy, her supreme executive power, to remove him. I've seen some dumb political moves in this state. This one ranks pretty damn high in my book. We'll discuss this more on tomorrow's show. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. Y'all have a good one.